G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Praise the Lord. Oh, God is good, amen? He's doing just some awesome things. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to two openings, Psalm 105 and Proverbs 4. Psalm 105 and Proverbs chapter 4. Hallelujah. We're going to look at Psalm 105 first. Verse 26. Give me an oi when you're there.
Oi.
So it says, he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them, talking about the Egyptians, and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his word. He turned their waters into blood and killed their fish. Their land abounded with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and lice in all their territory. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He struck their vines also and their fig trees, and splintered the trees of their territory. He spoke, and locusts came, young locusts without number, and ate up all the vegetation in their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He also destroyed all the firstborn in their land, the first of all their strength. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Yeah, we've been talking for a couple of weeks, and I want to continue on today. Probably today will be the last part of it. We've been talking about living in supernatural health. And living in supernatural health. Is it possible that we can live in supernatural health? Yes, it is. And that's God's desire for you and I, is to live in supernatural health. You know, there are different levels of healing. The lowest level of healing is just called divine healing, right? And divine healing is when you're sick, you can receive healing from God. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't go to the doctors. I mean, in some cases, the Lord may lead you to go to the doctors. In other cases, he may not, right? But the Lord will accelerate that recovery process in our bodies. And that sounds wonderful, but that's actually the lowest level of healing. Because while divine healing is good, it implies that you're sick and you're in need of healing. There's greater levels than that. The next level up from that is divine health. And divine health is when you get symptoms of sickness come on your body, but they don't have time to take root and those symptoms disappear. And you would have heard most of the stories. A lot of the people in our church are starting to move into that level where they're experiencing symptoms which for others will take 2 or 3 weeks or maybe even more to recover, but for them it's taking less than that. Sometimes it'll take a few days. Sometimes it'll take even less than that. Sometimes it'll only take a few hours. That's divine health. But there's another level beyond that. And God's ultimate is for us to live in divine life, where the life of God is so flowing from our spirit into our bodies that not even symptoms can remain on our body. We can just stay free of those things. And you'll begin to experience that more and more. The periods of time where you're staying healthy become longer and longer and longer because you're living in that divine life, and that life of God is just protecting you and eradicating things without you even realizing what's going on. So this living in supernatural health, and the reason The reason I shared it, and I did sort of talk about this either last week or the week before, but I want to remind you that, you know, you as an individual, you should be meditating on two things very, very regularly, feeding on it. One is on healing, regularly feeding on healing. Why should you be regularly feeding on what God has to say? Because there is sickness abounding all around us. And if you're not careful, you start to think like everybody else thinks. Yeah, some of you know that I work part-time as a bus driver, and there's this new run they've put me on, and I've got to park the bus in this remote location. There's about four or five of us that do that, and we all get onto one bus and we travel back to the depot. So to me, that's awesome because I get to chat with some of the drivers. And there was about four of us this one time just during the week, and we're traveling back, and they're all around about my age. They're young. They're middle age, and they're all sort of, well, actually, they're kind of starting to knock on the door of retirement. And but it was really, really, it was fascinating, partly my reaction to what they were saying, but also my shock and my surprise in hearing what they were saying. They're just talking about all sorts of sickness and disease, and they're just experts. You know, when you don't have Jesus, you need to find some other way of coping. And when you don't have Jesus and you're not receiving regularly from Him, you start becoming an expert on what everybody else is an expert, and that is like this medication and that medication. They know all the Latin names to them. They know the sort of dosages that you need and what sort of side effects that you can get and all these sorts of things. But it was actually, as I was listening to them, there was a bit that really kind of shocked me, but I guess it made sense later when I thought about it. They all just talked about how this is inevitable. They're on this road, and it is inevitable that they're going to get more and more complications in their body. They're going to suffer from all sorts of afflictions, and they're going to end up dying. Right? And it shocked me, and it saddened me, and it really surprised me to hear, because that's not how I think. And I hope that's not how you think. This is so, so important. Man, I could just unleash on this for so long, and I may even come back to this a little bit later. How you think about things has a huge impact on how you live. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 23, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. These people are expecting to get more and more complications in their body. And so it's not surprising as more and more complications start occurring. They think it's a natural part of aging. Do you realize that there is nothing natural about you getting sick if you're walking with Jesus? It's natural if you're not. But if you're walking with Jesus, that's not natural. And you should be viewing it like that. This is not right. It's like what I was saying last week. You ought to be angry. If you've got symptoms on your body, don't get condemned. If you've got symptoms like your nose is blocked, or maybe there's snot that's pouring out of it, or you're coughing, or you're limping and stuff, don't get into condemnation like this. What's wrong with me? No, there's nothing wrong with you. There's sickness all around us. But keep your faith out there. Keep learning these things. Keep feeding about healing. Don't wait till a Sunday to hear about it. Feed yourself regularly on this good anointed teaching. Andrew Warmick has awesome stuff. Keith Moore has amazing revelation in this area. Kenneth Copeland, all these guys have amazing stuff that we can benefit from. And you ought to be regularly feeding. Why do I say you should be feeding on? That's one of the areas. There's another area, but I want to just finish with this. Why is that important? If you're going to live and finish the mission that God has for you, you're going to need to be healthy. Sick people can't finish the godly mission that they have. Sickness will incapacitate you. It will stop you from being free to be able to move because you can't think about doing what God wants you to do. You just feel so sick, you just need to stay in bed. You just need to make one appointment and then the next appointment and then another appointment, and your week is just filled with appointments. Now, if that's your experience, there is no condemnation here. But understand that is not God's best for you. God wants us to live. You can live a healthy life. You can live a full life. And when you have finished and you've accomplished everything that God wanted you to accomplish, you can decide it's time for you to go home. That's God's design. That is so foreign, even to many Christians. And if you're living below that, I want to stir you up. Not in a condemnation way, but I want to stir you up that you're being ripped off. Because Jesus paid a mighty price for you and I to walk in freedom. And we ought to be changing the way we think so that we can experience more and more of what He has for us. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
So, so important. Hey, it is completely possible and plausible, and more of our people are experiencing these higher levels of healing. They're not just living in divine healing where they're sick and then they've got to receive healing, which is wonderful. Praise God, I'll take a healing any way I can get it. But there's better. You can come up to another level where the symptoms come on you and within a matter of days, what it took others months to recover from or longer, you can recover in a matter of hours.
Amen.
Or even minutes. Hallelujah. And then even going beyond that, where just the periods of time where you just live in absolute vibrance and health and vitality are getting bigger and bigger. And you're just turning around to the people that you care about and love and say, do you realize how long it's been since I took pain medication? Do you realize how long it's been since I went to the doctors? Am I saying it's wrong to go to the doctors? I'm not saying it's wrong at all. If I need to go to the doctors, I'm going to go to the doctors. Some people have this, you know, like something's just come to my mind, and maybe you've had this question. Some people wonder, like, oh, should I stop taking this medication? I'm believing God for healing. Should I just get dressed and go shopping because I'm believing God for healing? Should I get in my car and drive, you know, but I'm not feeling real good? Should I stop taking this medication? How do we know what the answer to those questions is? There's one simple, really, really simple way. If you're asking the question, then no, you shouldn't. And don't be condemned if you're asking the question. It just means you're not there yet. You're not ready. Okay? Because what is faith? Faith is being sure of what we expect. Is that right? That's what Hebrews 11:1 says. So faith doesn't say, should I stop taking the medication? Faith says, I don't need this anymore. Because faith is being sure of what you're expecting. So if you're not in the place, like maybe you're on medication and you're not in the place where, and you're still thinking like, oh, I'm not sure. Should I? Shouldn't I? No, you shouldn't. Because you're not sure. Faith is being sure. There will come a time as you walk with God in different ways. It could be that you've got to act on what you believe and it looks kind of potentially risky, but you're not even thinking about the risk because faith is being sure. Kind of like when Jess had the mastitis infection that she had, she was sure. She didn't need to think about it. She was just sure. No, I don't need to go see any medical. I mean, in the natural, a person without God, they need medical attention. They need antibiotics. They need something to tend to that. But she wasn't even questioning that. No, I don't need it. What happened to her body? She got sick. She got a fever, a raging fever. I mean, so much that even Andrew got really concerned. In the natural, this looks really serious. But see, they were both sure of what they were expecting. And so they were able to walk there. And even though their body was saying different and it looked really bad, because they were sure, they went through and the recovery manifested. If you're not there, don't be condemned. Just keep feeding. Keep feeding on the Word. Keep feeding on the promises of God and keep walking with God. Don't stop your medication if you're not sure. Don't stop going to the doctors if you're not sure. There will come a day where you don't even consider it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I hope I'm communicating that clearly. It's really, really important. If you're debating about whether you should or shouldn't, you shouldn't. Because when faith is really flowing in that area, you are completely assured of what you're expecting. And then you can move with a confidence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we're all growing, hey. We're all growing. We're all getting better and better at this. The more you practice it, the better you get at it. You know, I remember playing as a teenager, picking up tennis and playing. I was such an unco at tennis. But I just kept practicing because I enjoyed, well, partly because my parents wanted us to play a sport, and so I chose tennis, and so I had to go anyway. But eventually, I just kept practicing, and eventually I got better and better and better at it. And soon I wasn't even thinking about what I was doing, but just really enjoying the game. The more you practice something, the better you'll get at it. You'll notice even in Jess's testimony, the recovery time for mastitis from the first time to the second time was quicker. I noticed that in my own life with different sorts of things that come on me. The recovery time is quicker and quicker because we're moving into higher levels. The more we feed on this, the better we get at it. Hallelujah. So just there, Psalm 105, I want to bring your attention. Talking about God dealing with the nation of Israel, there in verse 37, talks about how God brought the children of Israel out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Israel enjoyed supernatural health. You know, biblical scholars agree that the nation of Israel, in terms of their number, was probably close to 2 million is probably an underestimation. It's probably around 3 million or more that were there. Well, they numbered the fighting men. They numbered the army, and that was over 600,000. That's men who were young and able to pick up a weapon. So that's not including the women, it's not including the elderly or the infants. So if 600,000 was just the men, I think 2 to 3 million would be quite a plausible estimate. And this scripture says that when they left Egypt, there was not one feeble person. I want you to think about that. I know we've meditated on this a little bit, but I want to bring your attention to that. Not one single person with a sniffle or a cough or a fever. I wonder how many cities of 2 or 3 million you could go and survey and find not a single feeble person. Statistically speaking, that's impossible. And yet when they left the nation of Egypt, but I want you to understand, there were sick and feeble people in Israel before this happened. Because if you're familiar with the scriptures, and you can read it in your own time, the first, I think, 15 chapters of Exodus describe what happened to Israel in Egypt and how God confronted Pharaoh and said, "You let my people go," and the judgment of God came on the nation and finally they let him go. But then, like, the Pharaoh was really getting arced up. He was getting annoyed. These Israelites were his labor force. And so he enslaved them. He made it difficult for them. Don't tell me that as they were living in Egypt, there was not sickness amongst the Israelites. There would have been sickness. What about Aunt Maggie, who had a stroke a few years ago, and she was now immobilized? What about Uncle Ted, who was one of the slaves working in the labor camps that the Egyptians had forced on them, and he got beaten down, fell off some stairs and broke his hip? What about him? What about the people who had arthritis? What about the people who had dementia? You're telling me that none of the Israelites had? Yes, they did, but when they left Egypt, this scripture says there was not one single feeble person. So even Aunt Maggie, who had the strokes and was immobilized, now suddenly she was no longer feeble. Even Uncle Ted, who had a broken hip and couldn't go to the labor camps anymore, he was no longer feeble. The nation of Israel experienced supernatural health, that not a single feeble person was amongst them. How did that happen? They just listened to what God had to say. God said to them, you can read it for yourself in Exodus chapter 12. He said to them, you're going to celebrate one feast we're going to have. And then the next day, the Pharaoh is going to let you go. He said, this feast is going to be called the Passover. He said, you get a lamb. He said, it's got to be without spot or blemish. He said, you're going to slaughter that thing. You're going to get its blood. You're going to put it over your doorposts. And he said, if your family's too small for a lamb, join in with another small family and share that lamb. He said, but you stay in that house where you've put the blood over. He said, because the destroyer is going to go across the nation of Israel. And every firstborn person is going to be killed, except everyone who's living under that blood. They're going to be passed over. That's why it was called the Feast of the Passover. And he said, this is the way you're going to celebrate that feast. He said, you put your sandals on your feet. You put your bag right next to you. You be dressed. He said, you be ready. He said, because we're going to go, and when it's time to go, you're just going to go. It's not time to pack. It's not time to go brush your hair or go brush your teeth. You're ready. He said, when you eat that feast, you eat it like you're ready. They listened. Aunt Maggie listened to that. She got dressed, even though she was immobilized. She's not thinking, how am I going to do this? Doesn't God understand I've had a stroke? No, she just got dressed because God said, you get ready, we're going. Uncle Ted, with his crushed hip, got some family members to help him put his pants on, put his robe on, or whatever it is that he was wearing back in those days. But he got ready, and they celebrated that feast right across Egypt, where all the Israelites were. They slaughtered the lamb, but they got dressed. They got their bags packed. They got ready to go. They listened to what God had to say. And when he led them out, they didn't just plunder the Egyptians and take all their silver and gold, as much as they wanted, but not one single feeble person amongst the 2 to 3 million as they walked out. All of a sudden, there's Aunt Maggie, and instead of her being just like this, sitting there, here she is, just walking. There's Uncle Ted. He's got a spring in his step. Ted, I thought you could. I knew you were faking it, Ted. Hey, you could have gone to the labor camps all those days. Not a single feeble person. Why am I talking about this? Because we are, the Bible says, we are partakers of a greater covenant, a better covenant, based on better promises. And if God could preserve an entire nation, so that even the old people who are suffering from all sorts of degenerative diseases are completely healthy and well, how much more should you and I be expecting it in our lives? It is completely possible, and it is right for you and I to expect to live healthy all of our lives. Do I hear an amen? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'm just recapping some things we've looked at over the last couple of weeks, and then I want to show you a specific area that I think would be very helpful. It certainly has been something that's been very helpful to me. I want you to look at Proverbs 4. I told you to turn to Proverbs 4 as well. So look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Give me an oi when you're there. This is basically a recipe for how we can enjoy supernatural health all of our lives. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. How can we enjoy supernatural health? Well, we give attention to his word. Incline your ear to what he has to say. Don't let his word depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. And what happens when you do that? It becomes life and it becomes health. That word health in the Hebrew, literally translated, means medicine. His word is medicine. You know, the number of times that I've just been healed of something without even praying to be healed. Just receiving healing. Why? Because I just give his word my attention. I incline my ear to it. I don't let it depart from my sight. I keep it in the midst of my heart. And it just turns into health. It turns into life. How can you live in supernatural health? It's by doing those things. And we talked about that, so I just wanted to remind you of that. We also talked last week, we started talking, and today I want to go a bit deeper into it. A real key to living in supernatural health is you've got to change the way you think. And I've kind of touched on it already, you know, like the Bible says, as you think in your heart, so you are. Those fellow bus drivers, it was really sad. And I'm believing God for opportunity to get alongside of each one of them. I see them as prime candidates to minister. Because we've got something that the world is desperately looking for. They are bankrupt, completely bankrupt. I mean, I'm thinking about the area of health and healing, but in every area they're bankrupt. And I don't look at them as like they're inferior to me. I would be exactly in the same position, and so would you, if not for the grace and goodness of God. Amen? But I'm praying, and I'm believing God. I'm praying for utterance. I know I'm going to have conversations with every one of them if they want to have conversations with me. And I'm believing that God will give me those opportunities with them. But if you don't change the way you think, you will think just like them. Because that's the way the world thinks. They expect as they get older, things are going to get wrong. That's the way the world thinks. They expect as you get older, your medications will increase more and more. The doctor was shocked when I went and had a health check last year, and she said, "What medications are you on?" And I said, "None." Well, actually, she was checking me for the diabetes, and she said, "Oh, that medication's really working well." And I said, "No, I stopped that 6 months ago." And she said, "Well, what other medications are you on?" I said, "None." But see, the world expects you're going to get more. And then you start taking this one that they tell you, this is going to really help you with your cholesterol. And then it's after a while, it's like, "Well, I've got this going on in my body." "Oh, yeah, well, it's that medication I gave you. Here, take this pink pill. That'll help counteract the side effects of the blue one." Then you take the pink one, and then you start getting lumps on your head or something. You go to them, "Oh, well, here, you need the yellow one, right? That'll stop the lumps. Hey, that comes from the pink one," you know? And you start increasing that. It is possible for you and I to grow old gracefully, healthy, to live out our full lives, and when we're done, we can just say, "God, I finished. I've done what you wanted me to do. I want to go home now." And just fall asleep and go home. And there's plenty of people that have done it, hey? I don't want to talk about that now, but I just want to bring that to your attention, hey? But it's not going to happen unless you change the way you think. First thing you have to do is you have to be fully persuaded that healing belongs to you. And we spent quite a bit of time last week talking about it. You need to know that healing belongs to you like your car belongs to you. Healing belongs to you like your wallet or your handbag belongs to you. What if somebody, you know, what if somebody went to touch your wallet? Somebody that you didn't know. Somebody went to touch your handbag. And you don't know who they are. You're not going to go, "Yeah, that's all right. You're all right, mate. Yeah, you got to help yourself." You're not going to do that. What if you saw somebody who's you don't know, and they're doing something to your car? They're like trying to jimmy the door or do something. Are you just going to smile and just watch them? No. You'd be throwing out a challenge. You'd be going, "Oi, what are you doing?" And why do you do that? Because you know what's yours. "That's mine. That's not yours. That's mine. I didn't tell you to touch that." You need to know healing belongs to you just like that. Right? That's part of changing the way you think. See, a lot of believers think that healing is some sort of optional extra. That you can take it or leave it. If you think like that, well, you kind of be hoping that God will heal you. But when you understand, no, He purchased it and it's got your name on it and you can have it anytime you want, you realize that. That's when you're going to get angry, when sickness tries to get onto your body. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The other thing we spoke about last week was don't allow your senses to dictate what you can and can't do. This is all part of changing the way you think. Don't allow your senses. You know, your body is not the final authority in your life. Yet for so many people, and I'm talking about just unbelievers, I mean, you can understand. But I can't even, I'm talking about believers who go to a faith church. They allow their body to be the final authority. Your body is not the final authority. God's word is the final authority. That scripture in Proverbs 4 doesn't say, "My son, give attention to how you feel. Incline your ear to your temperature. Doesn't say those things, does it? It says, give attention to my word. Incline your ear to what I say. Right? The word of God is our final authority, not our body. There will be plenty of times that your body, where you are believing for healing and you've prayed to receive healing, and your body's going, And if you're going to live in supernatural health, you need to start training yourself, changing the way you think, where you train yourself and you say, body, I didn't ask you. I could have like a raging pain in my throat, blocked nose, and a fever going, and somebody at work comes up and goes, how you going, mate? I'll say the same thing. I go, mate, I'm doing way above average. Because I'm not using my body as an indicator of how I'm going. In my spirit, I'm awesome. Just as you are if you're a believer. That's how you walk in the spirit. If you go by how you feel in your body, you've become a meathead. You've become carnal. You know, like it says, those who live in the flesh, they cannot please God. If you just go by how you feel, people get up like, oh, you know, I don't feel like going to church. Oh, I'm just not going to go. You become a meathead. Now, hey, listen, God still loves you, meathead. All right? You don't have to come to church to earn favor with God. God loves you whether you come to church. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to give in the offering for God to love you. And I never want you to give in the offering here, ever, if you're doing it begrudgingly. I want you to know in your heart and see from the word the tremendous honor and privilege you and I have of honoring God out of our increase. And if you can't do it, hang on, just keep it. You're going to need it. And then eventually, if you do come to that place, and I'm believing that you will, then you can give, and you'll give joyfully. But don't allow your senses to dictate what you can and can't do. Hey, your body is not the final authority. Just because you don't feel well doesn't mean that you should listen to your feelings. Hey, there's lots of times. But this is how you get into these higher levels. Think about this. Like, faith is being sure of what we're expecting, right? And it's being confident of what we don't see. Is that right? That's the scriptural definition, Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for. It is the confidence or the evidence of what we don't see. So you're believing for healing, but you don't see the healing. Your body is racked with pain. You don't feel the healing, but you're choosing to believe what God says rather than what your body says. Guess what? Your faith is absolutely active then. Because faith is the evidence of what you don't see. When you can't see it, but you choose to believe it, your faith is working. You don't need faith if you can see it. You got $100,000 in the bank account and you're believing God to prosper you, you don't need faith. You can just look at your bank account. You got $2 million in your superannuation, you're believing God to increase you, you don't need faith. You can look at that. But when you got zero, or when it's red, and you're believing God to increase you, that's when faith becomes the evidence. So I want you to understand, just because your body is saying, if you choose to believe what God says, your faith has been released and it's working. Hallelujah. I shared a couple of stories last week, but I actually didn't finish them. I was a bit annoyed at myself because I like telling the stories and I don't like not finishing. So I want to finish those stories because they're really pertinent, particularly this area about don't letting your senses dictate what you can and can't do. Do you remember I shared about Kenneth Hagin? And there was a guy with a stiff back. And so I actually reread the story because I thought, oh, I didn't get to finish. I want to read the story. So he didn't have a rod on his back, but he'd had a disease, an incurable disease that froze his back. So he could not bend over, could not bend at all. And anyway, he came forward for healing. And the Lord said to Hagin, when the Lord had been teaching him about how to minister to people, particularly who had been demon oppressed, you know, by demons or something. And the Lord said, you're gonna sense when you pray for someone in that area. This is just for Hagen, it's not for you and me. But he said to him, he said, you're going to find that when you put your hands on them, you're going to feel a heat that'll be on one hand and it'll transfer to the other and it'll go to the other and then it'll kind of transfer from one to the other. And he said, when you feel that, you need to understand that there's a demon involved. And he said, you cast that out in the name of Jesus. He said, when you tell them to go in my name, they'll go. So anyway, so this guy came forward. He couldn't bend over and stuff. And so Hagen put his hands on him. Straight away, he felt that heat transferring from hand to hand. So he knew. And he'd done this multiple times with other people. So he knew straight away what to do. So he said, you foul spirit, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave this man's body now in Jesus' name. And he said, all right, brother, see if you can bend over. Now, he didn't realize, but when he said that, see, if is the badge of doubt, right? You either believe or you don't. Right, you don't. You're like, oh, I believe I'm well. I'll see if I can do. No, if I believe I'm well, I'm going to do this. Anyway, Hagen didn't realize, you know, that he'd got in. You know, and you can get intimidated by a circumstance and get into unbelief, right? But you can correct that. So anyway, he said to him, see if you can bend over, and he just couldn't. He just couldn't. His back was stiff. So Hagen's going, I'm sure I'm doing what the Lord told. So he put his hand on him again, felt that heat transfer from hand to hand. He said, I told you in the name of Jesus, get off this body right now. Go. Again, he said to him, see if you can bend over. The guy couldn't bend over. Did it a third time. Again, a third time, felt the heat, commanded it in the name of Jesus. Told him, see if he couldn't bend over. He didn't know what else to do. So he told the guy, go sit down. Hagen goes, prays for another person, and goes to the person after that, and then notices kind of like a movement at the pulpit, and he looks around, and there's Jesus just kind of like leaning on the pulpit looking at Hagen. But he wasn't very happy. And anyway, and Hagen thought everybody could see him, because it was plain as day. It's just like you see anybody else. And the Lord said to him, I told you that if you command the evil spirit in my name, they'll leave. No one else could see or hear what Jesus was saying, right? But Hagen could. And to everybody else, Hagen's just looking at the pulpit. And Hagen's looking and he goes, yeah, Lord, I know that's what you said. He said, and I told it to go, but it didn't. And then the second time, the Lord said, but I told you that if you command it in my name to go, it will go. And Hagen's saying, yeah, Lord, I know that's what you said. I know. And I told it to go, but it didn't. Three times that happened. Then the fourth time, you know, Hagen said, look, Lord, it wasn't that long ago you taught me this. I remember clearly that you told me if I command it to go, it'll go. And I commanded it to go, but it didn't. I hope you're hearing what the Holy... This is where so many Christians miss it. Because they let their senses dictate to them what is true and what is real. And he said that after that third time, Jesus' eyes just flared up. He said it's like he could see like fire and lightning in his eyes. And he just looked at him and he said, I said they'd go. And he disappeared. And then Hagen straight away, he saw it. He was allowing his senses to tell him what was true and what was not. Jesus said they would go, but Hagen was allowing what he saw and what this guy felt to be the truth. Saw it straight away. He said, brother, come out. He said, come out right now. He said, we're going to get rid of that thing once and for all. Put his hands on him, felt that heat go from side to side. He said, I told you to go, and out you go in Jesus' name. He said, now, bend over. Straight away, completely free. No more frozen back. He'd had it for years and years and years. If you're going to live in supernatural health, you have to change the way you think. And a key to that is stop allowing your senses to tell you what's true and what's not. Especially if the Word of God is saying something different. Now, we need our senses, okay? I want you to use your senses if we're going for a drive and you're driving. I don't want you to go, hey, listen, we're just going to do this by the Spirit. No. I'll just say, hey, let me hop out, you go. Senses are important. But when it comes to what the Word has to say, if your senses are telling you opposite of what the Word has to say, don't allow your senses to dictate to you. You might be racked with pain. You could be immobilized. It could be that there's zero in your account, and yet God is speaking to you about something. Well, start giving what God is saying to you attention rather than what you can see and feel in your senses. Are you hearing what the Lord is saying? So important, hey? Praise the Lord. The other story that I did start last week and I didn't finish it was, and again, it's along this line about not allowing your senses, I developed this fungal infection where I remember I just woke up in the middle of the night and I wasn't even thinking, but I was scratching my chest, like really having a good scratch. And then I became kind of aware that I was awake now. And I'm thinking, man, I'm itchy. And I was just scratching. It was just in this area. But man, you know, like, it felt so good. You ever had that, like a really bad itch and just, you know you probably shouldn't be, but it's like, oh, no, that's too good. Like, you start kicking your leg at the same time. And so anyway, I'm just scratching away. And anyway, it's sort of like right through the night, I'm just kind of half awake, half asleep, just finding myself scratching. And then slowly over the next couple of days, I didn't know what it was. Didn't realize it was like a fungal infection. But like this thing just started to spread. It was like a redness and it started to spread like right across my chest and across my tummy. And it was, so anyway, after a couple of days I realized, okay, I know what it is. Because I'd had something like that about 10 years earlier. I don't know if you remember me sharing about it. But that, the 10 years ago, there was no itch. It was just a discoloration. So anyway, I kind of understood, it's not life-threatening, but generally the consensus is unless you put some sort of treatment on it, it will spread. It sort of just spreads through your body and stuff. But this thing was itchy, like really itchy. Like I cursed it and I commanded it to go in the name of Jesus. I said, as far as I'm concerned, you're dead. I said, now stay off my body. And so I refused to scratch it. And then I'm awake because it's like my body saying, you need to scratch. It's really bad. And I'm trying to sleep. And I remember several times I said to the Lord, like, Lord, I can't get to sleep because I'm just thinking about scratching. You know what? I'm just going to scratch it. So I scratch it and then I fall asleep. And anyway, and this thing just continued to spread through my body. Now, I cursed it and I'd commanded it to go. So as far as I was concerned, you're dead. And that's what I kept saying to it. No. I'm not asking you, body. See, I wasn't allowing what my senses were telling me to dictate to me what the truth is. Because the truth is, by his wounds, I was healed. Right? The facts were, I'm not going to deny the facts. The facts were, I was itchy. The facts were, it was all red. The facts were, it was spreading. But the truth is, I was already healed 2,000 years ago. That's what I was going to give my attention to. My son, give attention to my words. Not what you see. Incline your ear to what I say, not what you feel. That's what I kept saying. No. Every time I thought about it, even if I had to itch it, I'd say, no, as far as I'm concerned, you're dead. You are powerless to stay. You're receding. And this thing was spreading. Hey, I don't know how long it was. Probably a space of about 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. It was completely gone. Completely gone. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, why did God take so long? God didn't take so long. That's just where I'm up to. But when I think about 10 years ago, I had something similar. That took 10 months to go. Again, I used my faith. So I can see some progress. 6 weeks is better than 10 months. 10 months is better than never. And you will grow in this, hey? But you have to change the way you think. You've got to start renewing the way you think. Healing belongs to you. When sickness comes on your body, it is something that is not part of you. It's not part of your life. Start seeing it like that. And become aggressive in your faith. Don't allow your body to dictate to you what you should or shouldn't do. Hallelujah. Look, we're going to wrap it up there. Hey, I ended up spending all my time. I didn't end up sharing that. We might, anyway, I'll pray about whether I do another part. There is another part I wanted to kind of share, but we've run out of time. And it's just, it's stuff about why does some things take time? Why is it, you know, like, Why did it take 10 months for me 10 years ago? And why did it take 6 weeks? What is it that happens? Right. Would you be interested in hearing that?
Yes.
So maybe next week then. Hey, maybe next week I'll pray about it. Unless the Lord tells me otherwise, that's what I'll do. Because this is something that transformed my life. If you get this, it'll answer so many questions. So many questions, not just in the area of healing, but in every area. Of things about your life that you're not happy with. It could be ways that you think or habits that you've got and stuff. You will find if you get this, you will understand, and it'll help you understand how to let your faith flow. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. Well, we have had a good morning, haven't we?
Yes.
Wonderful praise and worship and ministry, the gifts of the Spirit and people being ministered to. Lord, we just rejoice. Just lift your hands and just give him praise and thanks. Lord, we just give you thanks and praise. We honor you. And we praise you. You are awesome, Lord God. You're the one who makes it all possible. We just want to recognize that. We want to thank you for the journey that you've got us on. We are so looking forward. The best days are still ahead of us. I want you to say that. My best days are still ahead of me. My future is so bright. I got to squint to look at it. In Jesus' name, amen.